Police Academy is your source for the no apologies, no spin truth about all things police. Discussions about why cops do what they do, avoiding speeding tickets, or just how to stay alive can all be found right here. No questions out of bounds, no topic too sensitive. This is Police Academy. Do you understand
the words that are coming out of my mouth? What we're dealing with here, glittering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoke in the reef.
Call the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah.
No, it's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one shot a weekend of training to get that bag.
Hello and welcome back to Police Academy Podcast. This episode is a dual post, parallel post, whatever you want to call it. It's on the YouTube channel and the podcast. Again, I did this last week. I'm doing it again because this episode, which would traditionally just be on the podcast, is short enough that I think the YouTube audience will be able to watch the whole thing. And I want to give you guys a taste of what I do on the podcast if you haven't come over to the dark side. So in this episode, I'm going to answer a listener question about bringing previous defensive tactic or martial art training into law enforcement. And then I'm going to give you guys a traffic tip of the day where I explain how not to get a speeding ticket. And then we're going to talk about another thing related to that that's really more just about how to stay alive when you travel, something that a lot of people don't think about or realize. And I want you guys to understand how this works. So those three things coming right up. Let's do this. All right, let's jump right in. This is the question that I got from Tyree, who is looking to get into law enforcement, and he's got some previous martial arts training. He writes, quote, "So as a civilian, I train to be able to defend myself, my family against any threat we come up against." Good job, Tyree. Smart man. "I did a more traditional Krav Maga for a half year, and I'm currently doing Krav Maga MMA hybrid, so more of a jiu-jitsu and judo involved type of thing." He goes on to say, "I'm not sure if you're familiar with Krav Maga, but it's more of attack and disengage as opposed to locking up and taking down like I see with law enforcement." And I'm going to stop right there. Why do you see that in law enforcement? Why do you see officers getting tied up with people and going to the ground instead of trying to disengage and, you know, these quick attacks and then back off type of thing? Well, first of all, the worst thing in most cases that an officer can do is end up on the ground. But it is something that happens a lot. The reason officers end up tied up with people they get into physical altercations with is that the objective for the officer is different than it is in a traditional street fight, where either you're defending yourself or your family, or say it's just a mutual consent fight and you're just, your macho's out the wazoo and you decide, let's do this, let's fight. The objective is different because as an officer, if you're fighting with someone, they are going to jail. And your job is not only to protect everyone in that area, protect yourself, your fellow officers, even the person you're fighting with, but it is also to detain them and take them to jail, which is why you see these officers, they get tied up and it's, you know, we're not letting go because the objective is to detain, to control, get them into handcuffs and hopefully do that safely. But that's why you don't see officers often disengaging, because then you have to re-engage and start all over again. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. Sometimes officers do need to disengage, but they're in this mindset of, I need this guy. I need to hold on to him and get him into cuffs. And that can be difficult if you're, say, losing that fight as an officer. And as we all know, and if you don't, this is news to you, but cops don't get to lose the fight. This is how you sometimes see an unarmed suspect getting shot by the police, because they started to win the fight. And that's just not an option if you're a police officer. Moving on. Quote, "I guess my question is, If I was forced into a fight, would it matter how I took the person down, or would I need to do something I learned in the academy? End quote. So Tyree is saying, listen, I've got all these tools that I can use because I've trained in Krav Maga. I know a little bit of jujitsu and judo. I can use all these things, but am I going to have to forget all that when I go to the academy and do the whatever style of defensive tactics that they train me? Well, the simple answer is, at least my recommendation to Tyree is, don't forget everything you learned, because you are probably much more capable now than a normal person going into the academy and only having that defensive tactic experience and training when they come out. Don't forget your Krav Maga, your jujitsu and judo. That stuff is great because it teaches you to ground fight. Like I said, even though we don't want to end up on the ground, cops often do. So having that is awesome. What it will come down to is, whatever you do, if you get into a physical fight on duty as an officer, has to be objectively reasonable. And depending on the department that you end up working for, Tyree, you will have more or less freedom. And let me give you an example. When I first started with my department, we were kind of in this, it's called PPCT. It's this defensive tactic training system. They have a very, more on the rigid end of the spectrum, resistance control continuum is what they call it. Basically, if the person you're dealing with, the civilian, is doing this, then you as the officer can do this. So I'll put this up on the screen for the YouTube people, but you know, you walk into a scene and someone is sitting there, but they're not aggressive, but they're not complying. Verbal noncompliance. You are giving them verbal direction, they're not complying. So as an officer, to deal with verbal noncompliance, you actually have to do something. You can't just stand there and go, I'm waiting, I've got all day, I'm getting paid for this, and watch them, you know, think like Occupy Wall Street. People just sitting there, the police are trying to disperse them, but they're not complying. You can't just stand there and do nothing all day if you need something to get done. So you actually have to take some sort of action. So the next step for the officer is soft, empty hand techniques. So you can use pressure points or like wrist locks and stuff, things that cause a little bit of pain and get people to start moving and listening to what you're telling them to do. You are looking at what the suspect or subject is doing and responding to that with an appropriate level of force. Typically, it's a little bit higher. You've got to use a little bit more force than they're using to get them to do what you want to do or get them into custody, whatever. The issue with that is that it creates such a rigid structure that when officers do things that aren't on this list, that aren't perfectly in line with what this sheet says, it creates the perception that they were wrong in what they did. So that type of scenario, if you have a department that has a more rigid use of force continuum like this, will probably limit you a little bit as far as like how much of your Krav Maga jujitsu stuff you're going to be able to employ. You can still use it. It just has to be, you're only going to be able to use that in certain circumstances. And the department is more likely to look at it and go, you were out of line because you weren't using standardized PPCT defensive tactic training. You were doing some weird jiu-jitsu move on this guy, which maybe worked out great, but he complained against you. And now the department's going, well, this isn't part of our training. What are you doing? Well, by the time I left my department, we had moved away from this and had gone to a whatever is reasonable type of standard. So it's like, when you deal with a situation and you have to use force, be reasonable. If someone is just verbal non-compliant. They're just not listening to you. You can't go up there and throw an elbow to their temple and then drag them out of the house and take them to jail while they're unconscious. That's not reasonable. But if you can articulate why you did what you did, and the level of force you used is objectively reasonable for a well-trained officer in those shoes, then you're fine. That was the standard we went to. And under a standard like that, Krav Maga, jiu-jitsu, all that stuff, as long, again, as it's reasonable, is totally fine. So to Tyree's question, do I need to drop my training and relearn all the stuff at the academy? Well, pick up what you think will work. But if you've got muscle memory and you've got those responses ingrained already, and you can see where they'll fit as an officer, you don't have to get rid of them. In fact, I would recommend keeping them, because you're not going to get enough training in whatever system that they teach you at the academy. You're just not. And if you're already well on your way with Krav Maga and jiu-jitsu and stuff, then keep it, because you'll never get to that level through your department's training. They're not going to be able to spend the time to train you to that level. And that brings up another thing I just wanted to talk about. People talk about, it's in conversation a lot right now, how much are officers getting trained? What is the level of training? Well, when it comes to use of force, officers tend to be pretty well aware of what they can and can't do in certain situations. But when it comes to actual hand-to-hand, going hands-on, as we call it in the law enforcement community, with someone, from what I have seen, most officers are extremely undertrained. And that included me as an officer. I am no black belt, and most officers aren't either. They're not highly trained in hands-on techniques. The defensive tactics that cops are trained to use are very simple for that reason, because departments don't have the time. It's not really time, it's more money to train their officers to the level that they're really competent with anything that's complex at all. So they tend to teach you very simple stuff like elbow throws and knees and very simple moves that don't take a lot of training to get that muscle memory down. Most cops are not good fighters. And if you are as an officer, either you've learned it on your own, or you're a defensive tactics trainer, or you've been on the street for a long time and you've been in a lot of fights. So you've either learned it the old school way by being in fights, you're one of the trainers, or you've gone on your own and done it. But for everybody else, which is the majority of officers, they're not that highly trained when it comes to hands-on techniques. I'd say most cops don't like to get into those wrestling matches because they're not masters at jiu-jitsu and Krav Maga. They're just cops. And there are some guys that do like to fight and are good at it, but I'd say the majority aren't good at hands-on, whether it's soft empty hand techniques and muscling techniques or actual straight-out fights. Most cops are not great fighters, and they tend to resort to a tool on the tool belt, taser, pepper spray, baton, that kind of stuff. And they shouldn't have to fight fair. Cops don't fight fair. We make no bones about that. We're not there to have a stand-up fight in an MMA ring. This isn't, Muhammad Ali versus George Foreman. It's not an exhibition. If the cop loses, the cop is dead. So it isn't a fair fight, and cops tend to resort to those tools rather than get into those hand-to-hand fights where if someone is experienced or bigger or gets the upper hand, then you're in big trouble. Okay, I said I'd keep it short, and I'm rambling. Sorry. So I hope that answers Tyree's question. I think I did pretty well, and then I went on to a tangent but related topic. So let's move on. Anytime you hear this sound,
let him go, Lou.
Someone going that fast has no time for a ticket.
Then you know it's time for the traffic tip of the day. And today's tip is that radar doesn't mix with rain. Now that seems kind of counterintuitive because how we get our weather forecasts and see rain coming is through radar, but that's exactly the point. Because the radar in a police officer's car is essentially sending out radar waves, and they come back and tell the unit how fast the ground is moving or stationary objects, and that's how the radar knows how fast the cruiser is moving. But the radar also senses how fast other cars are moving, and it compares those two speeds and figures out how fast you, Mr. Joe Schmo Citizen, is going. And then that trooper, that police officer, that deputy writes you a ticket. Dun, dun, dun. But if it is raining, that radar unit has a lot of trouble deciphering between the ground and the rain and the rain and the cars. That rain acts like a shroud that helps you as a civilian flying past that police officer trying to figure out how fast you're going, but the radar unit isn't working right. So your traffic tip of the day is that if it's raining, you've got a lot better chance of not getting that ticket, because even if you get pulled over because they know you're speeding, they might not be able to prove it. Now, the other thing is that cops don't like to get out in the rain. Their cruiser is their office, and I can't say it's really comfortable to be in full police uniform in a bulletproof vest and be drenched. So you've got that working for you as well. Typically, officers are less likely to make a stop if the weather in general is kind of getting crazy, whether it's really windy or really cold or raining, whatever it is, they're less likely to make that stop. So if you've got rain working for you, it's interfering with their radar unit and they don't want to get out in the rain. So you're less likely to get pulled over and you're less likely to get a ticket. That comes with a huge caveat, because although I'm obviously not the type of officer, I'm a former officer, but I'm not the type of guy that blindly says that speeding is bad, because it's not inherently. You just have to be smart about it. And if it's raining, obviously, there are some considerations. Now, can you speed in the rain and be safe? Oh, for sure, but only under the right circumstances. When's the last time you checked your tire tread? Do you have enough tire tread to handle a little bit of water on the road? How hard is it raining? I mean, if you're in a downpour and your sight distance is 15 feet, you should be going way less than the speed limit. That you when I talk about this stuff, please don't misunderstand me and think that I think it's okay for people to drive like a maniac under any condition. Absolutely not. I think speed limits can be to the point of irrelevant when you're in certain areas where there's literally nothing that you can run into and no one out there. But if you're in a school zone in a downpour, obviously you should be driving less than half the speed limit, right? It all depends on the circumstances. So what's your tire tread look like? What's your following distance? What's your sight distance? Don't go speeding in the rain because you know you're not going to get a ticket if it's not safe. Now, if it's a light rain and you're out on the interstate and there's not a lot of traffic, okay, by all means, take this tip and run with it. You're less likely to get pulled over. Also, the last thing I want to say is that, especially on the interstate, when you're driving in wet conditions for a long time and you haven't touched your brakes for a while, your brakes are wet. And if you've never noticed this, most people have experienced it and maybe didn't notice it. But if you're on the interstate in the rain and you haven't touched your brakes in 10 minutes, you are not going to stop in time if something bad happens. Next time you drive in the rain and you know that your brakes, there's a lot of water in there and you haven't touched your brakes in a while, you're on a highway or the interstate, try this. When there's no one around, do not a full panic stop, but hit the brakes solid. Don't wipe out doing this. Don't be stupid, but put some serious pressure on the brakes and see how it feels. there will be 1 to 2 seconds of, holy crap, I'm not stopping. And it's because your brakes are wet. So that's your safety tip of the day. While I'm telling you how to speed and get away with it, I'm also telling you how to stay alive and keep your family alive and everyone else around you by making sure your brakes stay dry. If you're on the interstate and there's some traffic coming up, just give your brakes a little bit of a ride to dry them out before you get into traffic where something could happen and you need them. It decreases your stopping distance by a ton at those higher speeds. So that's it. Make sure your brakes are dry. Don't be stupid and go speeding around in the rain because I just told you that you're probably not going to get a ticket. Be smart about it. I know the people that listen to this show are looking for truth. You guys are smart people, so I trust you. I trust you to take this stuff and these little tips that you wouldn't otherwise have and not be irresponsible with them. That is a wrap for this one, ladies and gents. Thank you all for listening. And I think this is a great example of the fact that your questions will make this show that much better. Tyree is looking to get into law enforcement, but I want civilians of all types, whether you're interested in law enforcement or not, to ask questions and I will answer them. Clearly, I am not afraid to tell you things that most cops would never tell you. So I hope you guys like that traffic tip of the day. Again, be responsible with it, but there's a lot more where that came from. And I figured I'd throw you another bone since it's been a while since I did one of those. And last but not least, please share this. Put it on social media. Tell people about it. You can go to the website if you want to donate. There's a button at the bottom of every page if you want to do that. But just telling people about Police Academy, asking questions, being part of the conversation is the best thing you guys can do. Love y'all. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time. As always, do good, be strong, fear nothing. This is Police Academy.